Oh my god, I love you, Jackie Q.
I'm not a soundbite.
Lies of the Planet of the Apes, you can suck my hairy, sweaty balls.
You sound like a lunatic.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Movies to Swear By. This is the show where I, neighbor Paul, invite friends into Dave's basement. Tonight, I invite neighbor Dave, the owner of the basement, to get together with me in his basement to review a couple movies we've recently gotten drunk and watched together. Tonight, we're going to talk about Rise of the Planet of the Apes, a movie that totally sucks ass.
Stupid monkey. He'll learn who's boss soon enough.
And Contagion. Another rave review hit smash that totally fucking blows.
Is there any way someone could weaponize the bird flu? Is that what we're looking at?
Someone doesn't have to weaponize the bird flu. The birds are doing that.
I think we've seen three films together.
I think so.
We saw Tribe Called Quest in their pansy-ass, long-ass title name.
Which was way better than these two movies.
Right. That was a decent movie.
Yep.
Then we went and saw Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yes, with great expectations that it'd be...
And we walked out of the thing pissed.
Yeah.
Okay, so no big deal. But then last week we went and saw Contagion.
Right. Rise of the Planet of the Apes, I had expectations would be this big crazy movie where a bunch of fucking monkeys go nuts and start attacking cities all across America. And people got to band together like in zombie movies and figure out how to fight them.
Well, plus it had the coolest trailer of any movie in like the last 20 years.
Right.
Cool fucking trailer, but the trailer showed you everything that was cool about the movie. Right. There's no other redeeming qualities about it.
I was expecting a pretty intense battle and between humans and apes. I thought this would be some crazy-ass Dawn of the Dead type movie. And I was so excited to see it that I intentionally didn't read any reviews. I didn't listen to anything on the radio about it. I would click the fucking TV channel if anybody was talking about it. And I rely on Rotten Tomatoes. Rotten Tomatoes doesn't offer their own opinion. For those of you in China who maybe don't know what Rotten Tomatoes is, it's RottenTomatoes.com. It's a website that's been around, God, at least 12, 13 years. I think they started in the 90s. And basically, they cull all of the reviews from magazines, newspapers, TV channels, etc., all throughout the United States, and they give a rating. They judge whether or not a rating, a review of a movie, is a fresh thumbs up or a rotten, stinky thumbs down. And they just tell you, you know, 130 out of 150 said it's a fresh tomato.
So what was it getting? 85%?
It was getting like 85%.
Which is a good...
Yeah.
That's a good score in Rotten Tomatoes.
Right, right. So... You know, I don't remember if I had actually looked at it. I was just excited. I'd been hearing this movie kicked ass.
All right, so has your experience with going by Rotten Tomato reviews been positive usually?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, one or two times I've been burned in the past. But generally, I figure if you get 150 fairly intelligent human beings providing a movie review, and if 135 of the 150 say they like the movie, generally it's a good movie.
Right. And the way I've done it in the past is I found a reviewer that I like. His name is Dave White, and you can find him on movies.com.
Okay.
He writes short, funny reviews, and generally he likes the same kind of shit I like.
Okay.
He likes action, comedy, gross, blow-em-up type stuff.
Okay.
And...
Did he like this movie?
He gave it a 4 out of 5 stars.
Fuck! So you've been relying on this dude.
Okay, but now I intentionally didn't read his review before I went and saw the movie. Because I was going to see it regardless.
Okay.
I was going to see it if it sucked because that's kind of what you expect out of it. If you've seen the original, you would expect it to suck.
Yeah.
But in a good way, in a fun way.
Right, right. Plus, bear in mind for people to try to understand how Dave and I approach this, we both have family lives and an opportunity to go out on a weeknight. That's when we go watch these movies. We go out on weeknights.
Right.
So to go out on a weeknight, it's a pretty exciting event for us. And so on the one hand, you'd think, well, no matter what, we're going to have fun. But on the other hand, we don't go out very often. So when we go out, we don't want to fucking waste our time, right?
Right.
So I get pretty goddamn crabby when this shit sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
There's other movies we could be spending our time with.
I went back and read Dave White's review afterwards, and there's a caveat to his review. Is he's a Planet of the Apes junkie.
Okay.
Self-confessed, he's watched every Planet of the Apes remake and loves all of them.
Okay.
And if you love the original Planet of the Apes, you're fucking retarded.
Yeah.
I mean, you might like it for its kitsch, and it's, you know,
right.
Charlton Heston being
right, right.
one of the worst actors in the world at the
right,
time.
Right.
Damn you! God damn you all to hell!
Even the kitsch part of the movie, they didn't play it up. They right. tried to get serious.
Right. You and I were disappointed because we realized about maybe half hour into it that the movie sucked. It never got any better other than this big scene on the Golden Gate Bridge where right. a bunch of cops are trying to stop a bunch of crazy monkeys. Other than that, it wasn't bad enough to be laughable. We kept hoping it would get better, and it never did.
Right, and it didn't get action-y either. I mean,
no.
the action sequences you see in the trailer, that's it.
That's it,
all
yeah.
out of
right.
a two-hour movie.
Right.
That's not enough action. I want to see some apes fucking some shit up.
Exactly.
Swinging from buildings, jumping out of fucking long, you know,
I wanted 100,000 monkeys taking over New York City.
Fuck, yeah,
and
bedlam.
Killing people.
Bedlam.
Yeah, and yeah. I wanted, you know, scenes of this fictitious president trying to figure out, should we fucking nuke New York City to kill all these fucking crazy apes?
Right.
You know, and instead we had, what? There's 1,000 apes running around on the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah, there was one fight on the Golden Gate Bridge, which was pretty
cool.
That
was cool. it. Yeah, that was
cool.
fun for 20 minutes.
Right, but the rest, but you had to sit through 2 hours of
yeah,
fucking bullshit
exactly.
to get to that.
Exactly.
And they could have made the whole movie like that bridge scene.
Exactly.
And instead we get James Franco,
exactly.
the fucker from Spider-Man.
Exactly.
In the worst leading role performance I think I've ever seen. If that guy gets another leading role as an actor, I'm going to be so fucking pissed.
Mm-hmm.
It was that bad.
Awful. Please don't see it. Don't waste your time.
Yeah, Tony and I, last year, we went and saw, the one where you release the Kraken.
Release the Kraken!
Oh, the, fuck yeah.
Fuck, what's the...
Yeah.
Titan, what's the name of the movie?
Fuck, I don't remember. I don't remember.
Clash of the Titans.
Was it that? Okay.
Clash of the Titans. And so that was another, like, early, like,
yes.
70s movie that was completely crap, but it was so crappy that it was funny and
right.
kitschy. And
you drink a few beers.
It was fun.
Going into the show right. and your expectations are low. But we had high expectations for this.
So Tony and I went and saw that remake, and that remake kind of played up the kitschiness a little bit.
Okay.
You know? It wasn't as bad as this motherfucking piece of garbage.
Right.
So fuck Rise of the Planet of the Apes. You can suck my hairy, sweaty balls.
So, hey, Dave, since that movie sucked ass, maybe there's a 2-3-4-minute song about monkeys that's way more entertaining than a fucking 2-hour shitty movie about monkeys. You know of any? Especially ones that have swears in them?
There's a shitload of monkey songs that are yeah. good songs, but they don't have swears in it.
Yeah, it looks like there's maybe a couple, at least, that you discovered.
Yeah, well, we found this guy named Steve Pultz.
Steve Pultz.
Same
okay.
artist who does a song called Hand Job on a Church Bus.
Oh, it's a classic.
Yeah, and it turns out it's a dude giving him a hand job, too. It's funny as hell.
All right.
So he's kind of kitschy, but I like the guy, and he's got a song called Monkeys Coming Out of Your Ass, and I think that's perfect for this piece of shit monkey movie.
Fuck you, Rise of the Apes. Cue it up.
The idea of monkeys coming out of your ass would improve that movie. I want to see a monkey come out of James Franco's ass. Watch your face turn right into your cellular phone. The next thing I knew, you look like Mama Cass. Monkeys coming out of your ass. Monkeys coming out of your ass. Monkeys, fucking monkeys. Fucking monkeys.
Fucking rock star.
Fucking A. someone that needs to be introduced to the general public.
Yeah, exactly. It might be popular in Beijing before we know it.
That's right. He's doing a tour in Europe next month.
He actually is, isn't he?
He is.
Look
yeah.
at his website, he really is. There is no lack of effort in this song.
No.
This guy is a fucking A for effort without a doubt. He's having a conniption playing on stage. They had a face like Richard Simmons and a body like a chimp. You had a feather in your hat. You were dressed just like a pimp. I couldn't say a word because you were talking so much trash. Monkeys coming out of your ass. Let me hear you one time, motherfuckers, now. Monkeys coming out of your ass. A little bit louder now. Monkeys coming out of your ass. Spanish, he yells. And there's a mumble.
That's a multilingual motherfucker right here. There's Steve Pultz with Monkeys Coming Out of Your Ass.
So we saw Rise of the Planet of the Grapes about 3 weeks ago, right?
Right.
And then what did we see this past week?
A fine movie called Contagion.
The average person touches their face 3 to 5 times every waking minute. In between, we're touching doorknobs, water fountains, and each other.
Yeah, and it happened to be the number one movie in the box office this past weekend.
And what did Rotten Tomatoes say about
Rotten
Contagion?
Tomatoes, well, Rotten Tomatoes, remember, doesn't say anything. They culled all this information, and I think currently it's getting about an 85. You could Google it right here. I think they're getting an 85-ish or so for Contagion. And you would think, okay, like I thought, you would think, God, it must be fabulous. And I love movies about the end of the world. I don't give a fuck if it's an asteroid. I don't care if it's a nuclear bomb. I don't care if it's zombies. I don't give a fuck what it is. I absolutely love shit about the whole world ending. I've loved that shit since I was a little kid. So movies like 28 Days Later, when that shit came out 5 years ago or whatever it was, blew my fucking mind. And I love all this zombie shit and the recent Dawn of the Dead remakes. I've read books about this shit. I absolutely love it. So any fucking movie that's got a little buzz about the end of the world and it's getting good reviews, and now I hadn't confirmed in advance what the Rotten Tomatoes review was. I just heard a little bit on the radio, a couple people saying, getting great reviews. A couple people, you know,
a
reviewer.
I heard that too. I heard that as well.
It's, you know, quite a buzz about Contagion. It seems to be the box office smash of the weekend coming up. And I just got a little stiffy. And I called you and said, let's go out, man. Let's go see it. I need someone to come see you and hold my hand in case I'm scared.
So when you heard about Contagion, you thought End of the World flick.
Yeah, yeah.
When I heard about it, I thought some fucking disease dramedy thing. Like a
dramedy? You mean like Shaun of the Dead?
Not dramedy, drama.
Oh, drama, okay, drama. Okay. That would have been... Has there ever been a fucking movie about a disease that kills everyone and it's a comedy? Because Shaun of the Dead was original because they claimed they were the first rom-zom-com.
Yes.
Romantic zombie comedy, right?
Right.
But...
And it was brilliant, right?
Yeah, it was fantastic. But I don't know if there's ever been a disease movie that's a comedy. That would be good. This
like,
certainly...
Like you could do Philadelphia again. And instead of Tom Hanks, it's, you know, it's Sinbad or somebody.
Yeah, or fucking Dave Chappelle dying of AIDS.
Yeah. Just cracking jokes.
Exactly.
Yeah, it'd be funny as hell.
Exactly. So
I'd see that disease movie.
Exactly. No, this was not a funny movie in any way at all.
And it wasn't an end of the world movie either.
No, it was not.
It was what, like a a fifth of the world.
Maybe a fifth, yeah.
A fifth of the world came to their demise in the movie.
And they didn't even play up the 100,000 corpse, laying in the streets in New York City. Because it got to a point in the movie where, what did they say? You know, in the movie they have, like, people from the CDC going to our homeland here in Minnesota, the University of Minnesota, to meet with all these epidemiologists or something. And they're trying to figure out what's going on, how's it going to spread, how many people are going to die. And I think at one point in the movie they said, well, our current forecasts are 20% of the U.S. population will die. Well, that's like 50 million people, whatever the fuck it was, right?
Right.
And they never played that up. Can you imagine 50, 70 million people dying within a couple months?
Fuck yeah, that'd be fucking traumatic, right?
There'd be fucking corpses all over the place, right? In cornfields, capitals,
and
everywhere.
To their credit, I mean, they played it up a little bit. There was a point where the morgue stopped taking taking dead people because they didn't want the disease in their morgue and stuff like that. So, but it started out really quickly. Someone got sick right from the get-go, and it was Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yes.
She did a fantastic job dying right at the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
And then her son died as well, and they showed his dead body in the bed.
And they pulled our heartstrings because we thought,
like
30 minutes in the movie, oh yeah, they played that card, let's kill the little kid in the beginning and show him dead.
See, I thought when they showed the little kid dead, that was going to be the beginning of fucking chaos.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Fucking chaos and all that stuff.
Yeah, you kill little kids in the beginning of a movie, anything goes.
But that was the most dramatic point of the whole fucking movie, like 15 minutes in.
Right.
And after that,
it was a boring, drawn-out
CDC commercial after that.
So,
what's great about the Center for Disease Control?
Right. Exactly.
And that was basically the rest of the movie.
Yeah, and what are the ills of not knowing where the actual meat came from and not knowing whether or not it was properly taken care of and is there any contamination? Ooh, careful of the pork you're eating. It was fucking boring. It was Steven Soderbergh presents a University of Minnesota lecture in the Department of Epidemiology.
Exactly.
It was fucking boring. And you know what? Now, granted, I had a few beers before the show, right?
Right.
We unfortunately didn't drink during the show. That might have made it a little more exciting. So what I'm about to say might have been confounded a bit by the alcohol in my system. But the movie was so goddamn boring that near the end, and I don't think you knew me, I was holding your hand, but I didn't squeeze you to let you know, or you didn't feel the lightening up of my squeezing, but I was getting head bobs with like 20, 30 minutes left in the movie. I was fucking bored to tears and falling asleep.
It was a boring motherfucking movie.
Yeah, it sucked ass.
And that one of the reasons I thought the movie would be decent is you look at the fucking cast of this movie. Holy fucking shit.
Matt Damon.
Gwyneth Paltrow. Lawrence Fishburne.
What's her name?
Jude Law.
Yeah, Jude Law. Fuck. What's her name? The best in the whole movie. The chick from Titanic.
Oh, yeah, fucking...
Ah! Ah!
That's not actually helping.
Fuck, all right. I'll tell you. Who is the woman who was in Titanic with Leo DiCaprio?
Ah! What
the fuck is her name? Why don't we remember that? She was the best part of the movie. Kate Winslet! By far, the only actor in the movie. Now, it might not be because she's superior.
There was one redeeming quality in the movie.
What?
The chick who played the girl who got kidnapped. It was Marion Cotillard.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
She was kind of exotic looking.
Yes.
Sneaky sexy.
Yes.
Sneaky sexy.
So there was a tiny bit of eye candy.
A tiny bit.
For guys or lesbians. There was a tiny bit of eye candy. But you know what? It wasn't enough to keep me awake.
No, but she made me want to see more of that actress.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Out of the whole, out of everybody else in the movie.
Marion Cotillard, or what? I don't know how to say that last name.
Cotillard.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So there's two questions here I have for you. The first one is an obvious one, since we are affiliated with the great podcast Music to Swear By.
That is a fucking excellent podcast.
Fabulous.
I love that thing.
Debatably the best podcast.
The best podcast in the motherfucking world.
If you want to step out of the norm, visit musictoswearby.podbean.com for the best interactive
radio podcast in a motherfucking world.
Are there any songs about diseases and or monkeys we want to play? But please hold that thought, because first, I think what's most important to the listeners of Movies to Swear By is, are there any reviewers out there that, like you and me, hated both movies? Because you and I aren't blogging and writing reviews on movies very often.
Right.
In fact, this is the first time we ever talked about it.
And my go-to reviewer liked Planet of the Apes.
Right.
So fuck him. But, and he gave a 3 star out of 5 to Contagion.
Which is
disappointing.
I did a little research, and it turns out of every reviewer for both movies, if you go to RottenTomatoes.com and you see, I don't remember what it is, roughly 150 reviewers for both movies, and you look at the ones that are qualified as Rotten Tomatoes, there's only one human being in America who is a movie reviewer who hated both movies. And it is this man named Cole Smithy, S-M-I-T-H-E-Y,
ColeSmithy.com.
And he thought Rise of the Planet of the Apes and Contagion both sucked. So I now have a new buddy, and I think we ought to fucking email this guy and ask him if he can help us in the future, recommend some tunes or recommend some movies here. You want to read a couple excerpts from the movie here from his review?
All right.
So, first of all, what's his little tagline? Cole Smithy.
The smartest film critic in the fucking world.
I can't dispute that right now.
Smartest film critic in the world. He has that on his website.
Right.
Which is pretty ballsy, right?
And he gives very brief, to the point reviews. I've read several of them now. I did my homework before we got on here. And he writes 4 or 5 paragraphs. He gives an overview, a bit of the plot, sometimes gives away the plot, and then a summary statement. Very to the point.
Right.
And you look at this right here, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. What's the first sentence say?
There is no reason for this movie to exist.
It says, save for a fleeting moment, a vaguely politicized spectacle where apes defeat a small army of cops in the Golden Gate Bridge, there is nothing to pin even the filmsiest theme on. If you were hoping for political, ecological, or sociological satire, you won't find any here. And then he talks about the movie, and if you'll scroll down to the bottom there, his summary statement, and we're doing this for you folks as this is a public service. These are difficult economic times in our country. We can't let our listeners afford, especially in the United States, but basically around the world, to waste their hard-earned cash on shitty movies, right? Go to this fucking guy's website. He says at the end, still, the rebellious simians aren't able to speak more than a single word by the end of the movie. I sincerely wish there were more of the story, but there just isn't. And what he did before that statement there is he just basically explains the plot of the movie. And there's nothing to it. Basically, the monkeys or the apes learn that they're smart and they rebel, and then the fucking humans put them down. The end.
Yeah, basically, James Franco is a fucking researcher, scientist, who's looking for a cure for Alzheimer's because his dad has Alzheimer's.
Yeah, Alzheimer's disease.
Alzheimer's disease. And apparently one of his trial drugs for Alzheimer's, he gives it to a monkey and it makes the monkey super smart.
Yeah.
That's the whole movie.
Yep. Yay.
Yay. And they break out. They run across the bridge and they escape into the trees.
Rated PG-13. That's 120 minutes. And this guy gives it an F. 0 stars out of 5. And I agree.
0 stars. That's beautiful. What did Cole Smithy have to say about Contagion?
Well, I think he very eloquently summarized how I feel about this. And again, for our listeners, I fucking love end-of-the-world crazy-ass shit movies. And you, very kindly, just simply agreed to go out with me on a date to watch this because you knew I was so excited about this movie. And you're interested in these type films, but I was fucking psyched.
Well, I only agreed to it because you agreed to give me a handjob in the theater.
Well, exactly, on a church bus on the way there.
But here's what Cole Smithy had to say. Contagion's PG-13 rating predicts the film's less than horrific nature, following an overpromising opening sequence. Director Steven Soderbergh inflects his beautifully photographed compositions with a slick techno-pop score that can't compensate for a script splintered with too many subplots.
Absolutely. It was one fucking storyline after another, and they were all boring.
And he goes on in the review to say that there's no protagonist.
Right.
There's nobody that, you know, you want to root against.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of different characters that are intriguing on their own.
Yeah.
And that could have led the film if they concentrated on
exactly.
them. But there's so many of those that...
You got
it just gets everything right. lost in the
if
wash.
If you've got Matt Damon inked to a contract and you don't utilize him, he's just this lame husband of Gwyneth Paltrow. Gwyneth Paltrow dies in the beginning of the movie. Sorry, I fucking spoiled it for you, but she dies, and she does a good job of dying. That's what he means by he says following an overpromising opening sequence. She right. dies in the
she
beginning,
dies, and then her son dies right away.
Yeah, and then throughout the movie. They do these flashbacks where Steven Soderbergh shows you how this disease... They give you clues about how this disease was spreading. Oh no! She touched the waiter's hand at the restaurant. And then he didn't wash his hands. And then he served some food to someone else. Oh no! It's bullshit, right? It's just
lame.
Fucking lame.
It's fucking lame.
So,
okay,
it's overpromised in the beginning.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and just blow the whole fucking movie right now. Spoiler alert right now. If you want to see this piece of garbage, turn this shit off. If you have some self-respect, keep listening. The whole thing boiled down to Gwyneth Paltrow shaking hands with a cook who had just been working on a pig that had a bat that fucking had some fucking shit. And the bat shit on the pig, and the pig got disease.
Right.
So it's a bat-pig disease, and that was it.
Right. At the end, he shows...
They reveal
Soderbergh shows, he reveals it all at the end, that some bat ate some fucked-up thing that caused the bat to then get a disease, and then the bat shat on something that the pig ate.
Yes,
and this pig gets
right.
delivered to a restaurant to
so
be cooked.
So it's a
yay!
Bat-pig fucking virus.
Yeah. Oh, no!
And that was the whole, you know, that was the great in twist of the whole movie.
And it's
movie.
Like this really boring CSI episode or really or an animated University of Minnesota Department of Epidemiology lecture with professional actors explaining how it could potentially be transmitted. And it's a fucking yawn fest. Goddamn yawn fest. I sat in the theater. It's 2 fucking hours, isn't it? Or 105 minutes. I was fucking falling asleep.
God, it's only 105 minutes?
Yeah, I was falling asleep.
It felt like 3 hours.
We did not drink in the theater.
No.
So, 100 and maybe, well, I don't know, 90 minutes into it, an hour and a half into it, I started falling asleep. It was so fucking boring. And Cole Smithy, God bless him, now I'm going to look at his website and I'm going to read his reviews. What did he say? The last paragraph, you want me to read it?
Well, he says, Contagion is an odd film for its vast supply of untapped potential. It's surprising that a seasoned filmmaker like Steven Soderbergh would choose to work with such a poorly realized script. The ensemble performances are strong, and the film's atmosphere is appropriately glum. But there's nothing here to make you feel like you have had a meaningful cinematic experience.
What a waste! That's his last line. What a waste. He gives it 2 stars out of 5, and
okay,
I think that's generous.
So he likes Contagion better than Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
Which film do you prefer? If you were forced at gunpoint to watch one of these again, which one would you watch?
Fuck. Probably just barely Planet of the Apes, although I'm curious enough to watch Contagion again to figure out why it sucks so bad. But you know, my expectations for Apes were very low. I just wanted a fun movie about the end of the world and apes taking over, and I was disappointed. But Contagion, this was getting hyped. And I wanted to see a great movie about diseases killing all of mankind. And it was so boring, and I fell asleep.
Yep, and you had some high expectations for Contagion.
Yeah.
And that's always a bad recipe for going into a theater. I had low expectations for Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and they went far beyond my low expectations, and it was worse. And I was a little bit pissed when I left. when I saw Contagion, I had no expectations.
Okay.
Zero expectations, and it still sucked.
Wow.
It still sucked enough that I was pissed when I left, and I hated it worse than Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Fuck, that's crazy, because when we left Rise of the Planet of the Apes, you said to me, I think that's the worst fucking movie I've seen in 20 years.
I did, that's right.
And a week later, we saw one worse. And both of them had 85% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And all that right, shit so, is so fucked up.
We're going to go out on a Disease song because we just reviewed a Disease movie. Yeah. But I just want to say to the makers of Rise of the Planet of the Apes and Contagion, please suck my hairy, sweaty balls. Bitches.
You know any fun songs about diseases?
Well, there's the ultimate
what's
disease
that?
Song.
What's that?
Ring Around the Rosie.
Oh my god, I forgot about that one.
And did you know, the story behind this song?
I think so, but remind me, is it something to do with the plague?
This is a song about the Black Plague.
Okay, Ring Around the Rosie, Pocket Full of Posies.
Ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Fuck, that's grim, isn't it?
It is,
and
but
we teach
it gets
all our kids.
It gets much grimmer when you know the origin of the song.
All right, what is that?
It's a song about the plague. So okay. Ring Around the Rosie is the first indication that you have the fucking plague.
Yeah.
It means a rosie is a sore on your body.
Yeah.
And it has a ring around it. If you have a sore with a ring around it, you had the fucking plague.
And how did they get this sore? Wasn't it from fleas?
From fleas
from
that bit rats and shit.
Fleas bit rats and the rats were infected with this fucking disease that was called the plague. And then the fleas bit all these people.
Yep.
Because it wasn't like they were living in air-conditioned homes 500 years ago, whatever it was, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so Ring Around the Rosie is actually the first sign that you have the Black Plague.
Okay.
Okay. Pocket Full of Posies. Posies were a fragrance. They were like it's kind of like lavender or something like that.
Okay.
So it was very odorific. And people that had the plague would pack their pockets full of posies to mask the smell of their decaying flesh.
So people who probably knew they were dying and their flesh was melting from this disease and was rotting,
yes,
they would stick flowers, little flower petals in their pockets?
Yes.
All right, so we're teaching our kids to sing about this.
Yes,
that's
yes.
Great, yep.
Pocket full of posies.
Okay.
Cover that decaying flesh smell.
Oh my God.
Nice, huh?
Yeah.
And ashes, ashes, we all fall down. That's...
Yeah.
That's pretty self-explanatory when you know the whole story.
Holy shit. So, hey, I got a question for you. Are there any modern contemporary rock or hip-hop or pop songs that combine this theme of dying, of getting bitten by some animal and having this awful rotten flesh? Do they combine that with anal sex and all sorts of crazy, wonderful sex with girls?
You just happen to mention it, but yes, there is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's that?
And it's featured in the film, a good film, Get Him to the Greek.
Oh, really?
A funny film.
Really? Okay,
yeah.
So what's this song?
It's by an artist called Jackie Q.
Oh, yeah?
It's called Ring Around the Posie.
Really? Well, fucking
imagine that. And so, email Paul at moviestoswearby.com and suck my sweaty hairy balls.
Cue it up! See ya! I love you, Beijing. Fuck you.
So damn cozy. Ring, 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 ring.
little pocket is so fit and damn cozy. Oh my god.
You know, they have a different version of Ring Around the Rosie.
Right. This is
They're talking about the Ring Around the Asshole.
Yes. For those of you who hadn't figured that out yet, Jackie Q is talking about her a-hole in her vagina.
I'm talking about my asshole.
Oh my god, I love you, Jackie Q.
And I just taken a gigantic bong hit.
Nice.
I literally just let it out, and there was a knock on the door, and I answered the door, and my parents are standing out in front of my door.
Come on.